1 Samuel chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said to the young man that bears armor, "Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahi and the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sina. And the forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised, that it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you what it does for us. And I pray today, Father, you would work through our hearts, through the passage that our pastor is going to come preach from today. God, speak to us. Help us today. We're needy people. I pray for our pastor as he comes and preaches that you'd use him and anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power. I pray today if there's one in this room that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, that today they'd get it settled. Today they'd make sure they're going to heaven. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
It's too warm in here, isn't it? Yes, it's terrible. I see that. Okay, we'll get the refrigeration on in just a moment here and cool it off for you a little bit. Well, I see ladies fanning themselves. Now, that's bad. I know that means it's too warm. I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 4 today. I'm really only preaching from verse 6, but I wanted to hear Brother Evans try to read all those names. And so I had him read those other verses. That's what he said. He said, "You just want me to try to say all those names." In verse number 3, you can't say them either, so it's all right. That's not a problem. Okay, here's the message. Between a rock and a hard place. Between a rock and a hard place. Ever been there? Yes. Jonathan here, King Saul's son, and his armor bearer, in the time of a battle, decide to go up and do something rather bold, actually. They're going to go up to the garrison of the Philistines. That simply means a well-fortified place held by the enemy army. And they're going to go up and take on this garrison to try and get the troops stirred up. On the way to the garrison of the Philistines, the Bible says in verse 4 and 5 that they go between a place where these two sharp rocks stand up. One's called Bozez, the other's called Sinna. The word Bozez in the Hebrew means a place of shining. Literally, it doesn't make a lot of difference to the sermon, but as a point of reference, Bozez was on the northern side of these two rocks, and it took the direct light of the sun, and it was made of a certain kind of a rock that just kind of glowed when the sun hit it. The other rock, Sinna, means a place of thorns. It had thorn bushes growing on it. So here's a beautiful monument on one side, a thorny place on the other side, and Jonathan and his armor bearer go up between these two rocks, and as they get between these two rocks, they realize the garrison of the Philistines is ahead of them, and literally it means they were between a rock and a hard place. I don't know if that expression came out of this particular text in the Bible or not, but I know what it means to be between a rock and a hard place. Do you? That sometimes we get ourselves in situations in life and we think, you know, I don't know if there's any hope on this one. Between a rock and a hard place is an expression that means you have difficulties on both sides. There's not a lot of hope in the situation. means you face something where your options are not good options. You face difficulties on both sides in life. And that's where Jonathan and his armor bearer are. They're between a rock and a hard place here. Now, I want to use that as a launching pad, but I want you to hold your Bibles open because I'm going to show you in the Bible how they got there, the why of it. We do things today in our lives. We get ourselves in situations in our lives and don't really care to find out why. And then unfortunately, we just go from one rock in a hard place to the other one, to the next one, to another one, to the next one, to another one. And we think our whole life is messed up and don't really understand the reasons behind this. Now, I want to show you, this is right here in the Scriptures, from the example of Jonathan and his armor bearer, how they got to this rock in a hard place. And then the most important thing is how they got out of it. Now, friend, listen to me. If you're not between a rock and a hard place in your life, then you're going to get there one of these days. We all have situations in our life where it seems like there's just not a lot of hope on either side here. The Israelite army knew this many times in their life. God's people have been those places in their life. The disciples in the storms, the twice in the Bible, they were sent out into storms in their lives and rowing out into the Sea of Galilee. They found themselves in situations that looked completely hopeless. The Apostle Paul spent 14 days in the Adria being blown about by the Areopagus in a great storm. 14 days without seeing the light of the sun. And all hope was lost, the Bible said. But then there's Paul standing up in the middle of a ship, a bunch of men who haven't eaten much in 14 days, and saying, "Sir, wherefore, sirs, I believe God." And they came out of that storm also. That we get ourselves in between a rock and a hard place is not uncommon, and it's not uneasy either. It's not like it doesn't just happen to us in our lives, but there are reasons for it today. Do you find yourself between a rock and a hard place this morning? You will one day, before it's all over and said and done, you'll find yourself there very simply. And we need to know why. First of all, would you consider how they got themselves between a rock and a hard place? Verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 14. And it says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man that bears armor, 'Come and let us go over the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side.' But he told not his father." You know how he got between the rock and the hard place? He put himself there. He didn't go to his dad and say, "Dad, Saul's the king of the army now, king of the nation of Israel." He didn't go to his dad and say, "Dad, I got an idea. I was thinking maybe me and one guy will just go up to this fort and see how many Philistines we can kill. What do you think, Dad?" You know, I bet Jonathan thought in his mind, "There's no use talking to my father about this. I know what he's going to tell me. He's going to tell me I shouldn't do that. And I'm going to do what I want to do, so I'm going over there." And Jonathan put himself in the place where he's between a rock and a hard place. And that's how most of us get there. We do it on our own. We're not going to talk to our Heavenly Father about what we do. Saw it happen this week. See it happen almost every week in my life as a preacher. People make decisions in their life and they don't check the Word of God. They don't check with God about what they do. They really don't pray about it. Now they use the expression, "Well, I prayed about it." It's interesting what people pray about sometimes in their life. "Now, God, should I do this in my life?" Knowing that God's not in it, it violates the Word of God. It goes against the Scriptures. And they make decisions they know are against the Word of God. And they wonder why then they get themselves between a rock and a hard place. Look at me, people. You can't cheat, lie, commit adultery, do wicked things in your life, mess up, violate the Word of God, and not wind up between a rock and a hard place. You're going to get there. Just like that. I mean, before you know it, you've got things on both sides of you, and there's great opposition in your life. Often we get between a rock and a hard place because we put ourselves there. Most of us wind up between this rock and a hard place because we do things on our own. Some of us put ourselves in between a rock and a hard place because we make decisions that we shouldn't make. Choices that we know we ought not to make. Pastor Johnson, I just seem to find myself in life. I mean, these people, they just have this influence over me in my life. And the next thing I know, I'm with the wrong crowd doing the wrong thing. Why is that? Okay, now the answer is very simply. Did they kidnap you? They put a gun to your head and made you go to the bar. That's why all the bad stuff happened. And it's amazing to me. I'm thinking, now come on, you know, the reason you're with the wrong crowd is because you chose the wrong crowd. You wanted to be with them. You wanted what they wanted. You got what they got in the process. We put ourselves there. We make choices that we shouldn't make. I was in Stockton preaching yesterday, drove down Friday night, preached twice yesterday and drove back. And then we went to Sacramento for a little bit for the day, and my wife was there with us, and the granddaughter came up from, she doesn't drive, of course, she's only 6 months old, but our daughter and her husband brought the granddaughter up because we were that close, and they got to spend some time together. I went to try and connect with them after I finished preaching. I'm preaching and working. They're up there goofing off and shopping. That's, and let me tell you something. When you're in one town, your wife's in another town, and you're between a rock and a hard spot, and she's shopping, you're in big trouble. And so I'm driving up in Sacramento, and as I'm driving Highway 80, come to Madison Avenue and Highway 80 in Sacramento, and there's a place called Scandia. As I drove by Scandia, I thought to myself, I remember this place. This is where I got between a rock and a hard place many, many years ago. We were just married, and I took my wife to a, first of all, I took her to play miniature golf. Now, that's stupid. Miniature golf is the dumbest thing on planet Earth. Hitting a pink ball on a yellow carpet to a purple dinosaur. I mean, what is a man doing out there? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. You get how sissy looking that is? You got a golf club that's about that long to begin with, and you're hitting a pink ball in a purple dinosaur. That is not even, anyway. So I took my wife to Scandia. We were first married. And we come out of this place, there's a video arcade place, and we come out of this video arcade place, and you walk out the doorway, and the sidewalk turns and goes this direction as soon as you come out the door, and over to the left, right over here, were these trampoline pits where people jump up and down in trampoline pits. And I drove by the other day, I was trying to see if I could find them, I couldn't see them, but as you walk out of this place, there's a trampoline pit. So they lowered them down into the ground, so you just step right off the ground right onto the trampoline pit and jumped up and down. As we stepped out the door, opened the door for my wife, as a gentleman always does, opens the door for the lady, and she steps out the door this way, she turns on the sidewalk and walking this direction, I'm walking this way, and I'm looking that direction, and there are people jumping up and down on the trampoline pits. Over in the corner was this guy who must have weighed 500 pounds on this trampoline pit, and he starts bouncing this thing up and down, and I'm thinking, okay, he's right by the fence, if he gets sideways, he's going to take out 40 feet of chain link fence. And there's just something about me that wanted to see that. So, as I'm walking this way, and I'm watching my wife out of the corner of my eye, I'm watching the big guy over here in the corner, bunga, 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 and he starts going sideways, and I go, okay, he's going to get that Volkswagen, too. I can see it coming right there in the parking lot. And as I stepped up, I saw in the corner of my eye her beautiful blonde hair, and I stepped up to the fence to watch the guy. Bom, 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 he hits the fence, and down he goes. And I didn't laugh or anything like that, but it was enjoyable. And I saw her. She stepped up the fence with me, and I saw her in the corner of my eye, watched the guy, bum, 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 down he goes. I put my arm around her, said, come on, honey, let's go. And we step back like this, and we start walking down the sidewalk. And she's pulling back as we're walking down the sidewalk. And I looked at her, and I go, what's the matter with you? And it wasn't my wife. She had just kept on walking. I stepped up to a totally strange blonde lady, put my arm around her, and said, come on, honey, let's go. I stopped and I said, oh, excuse me, ma'am, I'm so sorry. Hey, listen now, wait a minute, hold on, look at me now, I'm sorry. Listen, I didn't, and the bad part was my wife was standing over here with the relatives she came with. And I said, honey, wait, honey, listen now, I never, and I don't know her, and I watched, did you see the big guy over there? I was between a rock and a hard place, my friend. Just a simple choice. Innocent mistake. You have no idea how many times, not that thing, but I mean, when I do stupid things like that in my life, and you get yourself in situations where you are between a rock and a hard place, and most of it is by our choices. Decisions that we make. People look at me in silly things like that, but I'm talking about important things. Serious matters. You don't go to the Father about what your problem is. You're going to get yourself between a rock and a hard place. You can't do that. Oh, but Pastor Johnson, see, I don't understand. I'm always in trouble with my finances in my life. We rob God. We don't tithe. We're dishonest in our business dealings, the way we do things. We cheat and lie and steal and wonder why we're in trouble all the time. Look at me. You've got to be kidding me. How can you violate the Word of God and not get yourself between a rock and a hard place? We don't go to our Father. Jonathan's a young guy and he's thinking, I'll just do it my way. That gets you between a rock and a hard place. And so now he winds up between these two stones. Now he's in a place that's difficult. He's between a rock and a hard place. You also get between a rock and a hard place because sometimes we find ourselves there because of others. You will notice Jonathan is not the only one between a rock and a hard place. His armor bearer is with him. Jonathan goes to the armor bearer and says, I want you to go with me. I want to show you something. We're going to do some things. The guy that's with Jonathan, he is simply a soldier who is a job. His job is to carry Jonathan's armor. He's to carry the shield. He's to carry the sword. He's to carry the bow and the weapon. If Jonathan goes into battle, the armor bearer goes. If Jonathan says, we go, you go with him. It's just it. This guy wasn't making a bad decision. He was doing what he was told, and he got stuck in the middle between a rock and a hard place because somebody else took him there. Now look at me. Sometimes in our lives, dear people, that happens to us. Sometimes the rock and hard place we find ourselves in, we didn't go there on our own. Now, I'm not talking about people who go with the wrong crowd, do the wrong thing, and get in trouble. You know, it's not right that your kids should have to be between a rock and a hard place because of you. It's not right that your spouse should have to be between a rock and a hard place because of your decisions and what you do in your life. Sometimes we're there because of others. Sometimes we find ourselves in this place like the armor bearer was. And they're now between both places. And it's Jonathan's decision. But out of obedience in his life, he goes with the leader and follows his leader. And the leader takes him to a place where they're between a rock and a hard place. You know, it's a shame today our children have to live with the mistakes we make in our lives. Every kid has to. No parent is perfect. Nobody makes absolute perfect decisions in their life. But could I ask you to do something this morning? Would you please be very careful about what you do? Would you realize that when you make a decision, you don't just make that decision and it doesn't just affect you in your life? It's not just about you and what you want and what you get and what you do. You're going to take somebody else to that rock and the hard place with you. Then you're going to look down at your children and they're going to go to that rock and the hard place. And young people, you listen to me. You grow up and you become adults and you think, well, I'm on my own now. What I do with my life is my life and it doesn't make any difference anymore. You still have parents. You still have grandparents. And you put them in a rock and a hard place because of your selfishness in your life. Sometimes others get us to that place. Sometimes, as in the case of Jonathan and his armor bearer, they're on the way to fight the enemies of God. Though Jonathan's decision should have been checked with his father, his intention is to go to battle. They're in the middle of a fight in 1 Samuel 13. Saul and the army of the Israelites had just overcome a great opposition by the Philistines. And Jonathan's trying to take the battle one more step. He's in the fight trying to do something here. Sometimes you get between a rock and a hard place because you're in the fight. I don't mean you're fighting. I said you're in the fight. You're in the battle for the cause of Jesus Christ. And you go to work, and you're between a rock and a hard place. When we were in Bible college, Brother Evans and I were in the sailor ministry at First Baptist Church in Hammond. We went up and worked with the retarded in the sailor ministry. And we were, at one point, you were not allowed to go. I still don't think you can go on a military base and witness, talk to people about Christ. So we did it undercover. We were subversives. We were terrorists. We snuck onto the base and we would witness to people. See, you shouldn't have done it. I know when we wanted so many people to Christ, it was terrible. And so we'd go on the base. Well, if they catch you, the shore patrol would catch you, they'd arrest you, take you down to the brig, yell at you, don't ever do that again, and then take you to the base and throw you off. Well, they'd open the door and tell you to get out. And after a while, then off the base there were some people who didn't like what we were doing. It turned out that these people who didn't like what we were doing weren't just disgruntled businessmen. All we did was walk around the streets and win men to Christ. That's all we did. Turned out these so-called disgruntled businessmen were fronts for drug dealing and whorehouses and all this kind of stuff. And they didn't like what we were doing because we were messing with their customers. So they started calling the North Chicago policemen, North Chicago police, and telling them, you need to go arrest those guys. And they kept bothering the police until the police got mad, told us to come down and get off the streets. So we went on the base and went soul winning, we were arrested. And then they told us, now if you go off the base and we find you out here, we're going to arrest you and throw you in jail too. We were between a rock and a hard place. I would leave and go soul winning on Saturday, and I'd tell my wife, be by the phone around 2 o'clock because we may be getting arrested. You may have to call someone to come get us out of jail. You know, it's interesting how God just turned that whole situation around. Did you know that before it was all said and done, the admiral over that base in 4 states had us come to his office. We explained to him what we did. He gave us permission to go on the base and go soul winning. Did you know before it was finished, the North Chicago policeman did arrest one of our guys, took him to jail, took it to court. The judge threw it out, said, this is ridiculous. These guys have a right to do this. And then the North Chicago police became our friends and protected us when we were off the base. Did you know eventually God took that rock and a hard place that we were in, and He made a valley out of it that became smooth sailing for us, and we had permission to do these. I don't even know if it's legal to this day. All we had to have was one of our little tickets that we gave guys. We could get right on the base and go talk to anybody we want to on the base with permission. And then we had God took us through that thing. But you know what? Sometimes in the battle, you get yourself between a rock and a hard place. You go to work and they don't approve of you. They want to know what you did for the weekend. And they laugh at you. And you get yourself in this place of trying to live for God and the Christian life. And sometimes, and then relatives come over and visit you. And then it's Thanksgiving time. And they come to your house. And then you say, well, now we can't do that here. And they say, oh, what's the problem? It's Thanksgiving. Everybody does it at Thanksgiving. And the next thing you know, you got it at the house. And then you got it at the work. And then you're thinking, wait a minute. Now I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm trying to honor God with my life. And I'm in the fight trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm in this rock in the hard place again. Now listen carefully. If you're between a rock and a hard place and the reason you're there is because you did wrong, you have to understand that. The only way to fix that is to do the right thing. There aren't any other solutions now. Now that you're in the business of moving rocks, you're going to have to get right about some things. You made some choices you shouldn't make. You did some things you shouldn't do. You put yourself between a rock and a hard place and you did some things that were not right. The only way to get it fixed is do right. That's the only solution. There are no ways to get around that. You can't fix that. Now, if you're between a rock and a hard place because of somebody else or because you're trying to honor God with your life, you have to do what Jonathan and his armor bearer did. See, look again at 1 Samuel chapter 14 and look quickly at verse number 6. And Jonathan said to the young man, there between the rock and the hard place in verse 4 and 5, in verse 6, and Jonathan said to the young man and the armor bearer that bears armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised. Jonathan said, here's what we need to do. We need to go forward here. We need to go forward here. When they had us in that problem there at the Navy base, and we couldn't go on the base without being arrested, and we couldn't go off the base without being arrested, do you know what we did? We said, well, I guess we can't go up there anymore because after all, they don't want us there. I guess that's a closed door. You know, God's never really closing the doors for soul winning much. So you know what we decided? We all got together and we had a meeting. We said, okay, what do we do? We're going! So we went up there. It's just how it went. We figured somehow God's got to fix this thing. But if we all have to go to jail, we're all going to go to jail. And I've been arrested a couple of times. Did you ever get arrested on the base? Never? Well, it's because, you know. But anyway, I got arrested. They went after me. They got me a couple of times. Put me to the break. You were here the other day. You can't ever do that. Don't you understand it? Yes, sir, I understand that. I appreciate it. Yes, sir. Thank you. Get off the base. Yes, sir. And he takes you to the base, drop me off. I go right around the gate, go right back on the base again. Say, now that wasn't right, Pastor Johnson. You're absolutely right, and I've asked God to forgive me for it. But here's what happens. When we get to that place in our life where it's either you can't do this or you can't do that, listen to me. There is always an option of doing the right thing. Okay, Pastor Johnson, now I know where you're going here. So if I got myself between a rock and a hard place, I got to do the right thing. How come you always get to that no matter what you're preaching? Look at me. How come that you're going to say, yeah, you got to read your Bible and pray and go soul winning, go to church. You got to be faithful to God. You'll always get that in there somehow. Because don't you understand that no matter what the situation that you face in life, doing the right thing is always the right thing to do. You always have to do that. There is, you can't stay between a rock and a hard place. You've got to go forward from there. You can't just stand there and say, well, I can't do anything. Oh, yes, you can. Our garrison, the Philistines, is right over there, and you've got to do the right thing. You've got to do the right thing. You've got to get this thing right in your life. If you're not saved, settle it and get saved. Trust Christ. Know Him as your Savior. Settle that matter in your life. Go and do the right thing. If you're a Christian, then get right about this thing. So many Christians, they're in between a rock and a hard place, and they don't go to church. My question to you is this. What do you want God to do for you? You want God to come home while you won't obey Him and sit at the house. You want God to come home and fix stuff for you. Wrong, 1,000 times wrong. You got to go forward. Yeah, that's right. You got to go forward. He said, well, we can't stand here. There's a rock on this side. There's a rock on this side. Let's go up here. We came here to go to the Philistine. Let's go to the Philistine garrison then. Let's just get on with what we're supposed to do. Friend, there's no easy solutions to rock and hard places except going forward. That's all that's necessary. That's the next thing you should do. That's the thing you ought to do. By the way, most rock and hard places would be avoided if you wouldn't go where you're not supposed to go. Then if you get where you're not supposed to be, then go where you're supposed to go. There's always a simple solution to what looks like very complex problems. Look at me. Quit taking rock samples. Well, I need to understand the consistency of these rocks. It's a rock in a hard place. I'm where I'm not supposed to be. Now then, you want to examine these rocks? You want to have somebody come down and read the aura on the rocks? Is that what you need? You need someone to come down and investigate this rock and hard place situation and see what kind of fool would put a rock in a hard place between where you're going and your life. Or do we just simply understand, I got myself somewhere I'm not supposed to be. Okay, I made a decision I shouldn't make. Okay, I went with someone I shouldn't have gone with. Okay, I'm trying to do right and I'm between a rock and a hard place. So what do when you go to work and they oppose you? You go to work and you do the right thing. That's what you do. So what do when somebody puts you in a situation you don't want to be in and you're there? What do? You do the right thing. You go forward. You always go forward. Christian, God's will never leads us to back up. God's will never leads us to get off track. God's will never leads us to violate God's word. Never. You always go forward in your life. Pastor Johnson, I'm between a rock and a hard place in my finances. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you tithe? Now, Pastor, you're going to start talking to me about giving, and I'm having a hard time paying bills, and you're talking to me about giving? You see, that's what we're thinking today. We think this problem with my finances has come about because all of a sudden I'm a good guy robbing God, and God's not blessing me. Oh, duh. So what do? You do the right thing. Look here. See, I got these problems with my relatives, and I'm just not quite sure how to handle the situation. You do the right thing. You love them. You be kind to them. Okay? Please don't go home and call your grandmother Antichrist. Don't do that now. Come on. No, don't do that. All right? And don't go home and tell her, I told you to say that either, because then I get the mail. All right? Don't do that. All right? Don't do it. Be kind to them. Be patient. And be compassionate. And be understanding. But don't budge an inch. I would rather explain a jackhammer to a monkey than try to explain to a Christian who doesn't understand the Bible and won't do what the Bible says, why I'm doing what the Bible says. Forget it. Just tell them, look, Barnard, we just don't do that. That's just not what we do. Guess what happens? You just go forward. And you leave the rock in a hard place behind you. Yeah, they came to the rock of Bozez and Sinah. Yeah, they came there, but they didn't stay there. You go forward in your life. You don't stay there, you go forward. You do right, you live right, you get right. Okay, the right thing is the only way to solve the problem. Look at verse 6. Get out of this rock in the hard place, because he said, come, let us go over to the garrison of them circumcised. Look at this statement. Verse 6, it may be the Lord will work for us. You get yourself between a rock and a hard place. Listen now, don't lose sight of God's ability. Do you hear me? I said don't lose sight of God's ability. We don't face a problem that's bigger than God. No, we don't. Yeah, but I made this one, Pastor Johnson. God's in the problem fixing business. If God can't fix stuff, then I'm not going to do what I'm doing. I'm just not. I'll go sell cars or something like that. I'll do something. There's nothing wrong with selling cars. I'll go do something else in life. I did not believe that the God of heaven could fix things in people's lives. Now, He won't do it without you. He won't do it in spite of you. He won't do it contrary to your will, but He can fix things. The key is, Jonathan turns to his armor bearer and he says, it may be the Lord will work with us on this thing. You get between a rock and a hard place and you think, I have no options. Guess what? Straight ahead and straight up. Those are your options. That rock and a hard place forces you to look up. Now, God, can you get in on this thing? I will do right now. I'm going forward. Now, will you help us? And Jonathan said, yep, you know what? I believe God will get in on this situation. And my dear friend, God has helped me out of many a rock and hard place in my life. But He didn't help me in spite of myself. He helped me because I tried to do what was right. And I set my course and I said, I'm not going to cheat. I'm not getting around this thing. I'm not going to lie my way out of it. I'm not going to cheat my way out of it. I'm not going to compromise my way out of it. I'm not going to back up to get out of it. I'm just going to go forward and ask God to help me to fix this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe America's Christians today just need a revival in believing there is a God who can. Because there is a God who can. God can! I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God can! If I didn't believe that, I'd just go on and do something else in my life. But I believe it. I believe it in my own life. I believe it in the lives of so many people I've seen before. They got themselves between a rock and a hard place, but they did the right thing, and God brought them through it. Don't let the rock and the hard place affect your vision. Can you still see Him in all this thing? Then verse 6, he says this, "For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Jonathan made that statement because of what happened in chapter 13. Chapter 13, God helped a small Israelite army defeat a huge Philistine army. Jonathan was there. He was part of that fight. He saw the handful of men used by God to defeat a huge army of the Philistine people. Jonathan said, "You know what? We'll get out of this rock and hard place because I remember what God did." God's ability, my friend, needs to be in front of us. And the remembrance of what God has done in our life must always be fresh in our minds. You can't tell me, with most everybody in this room are adults. There's some teenagers here. Teenagers are in between. Adults and children. They're neither one. You know what that means? They don't matter. No, that's not what that means. It means they're in between. You do too matter, young people. You know that. Don't let me destroy your self-image. But the truth of the matter is they're stuck between the middle. But the truth of the matter is these kids have been between rocks and hard places in their lives. But every adult in this room, you've been there before. Now listen to me carefully. And if you did the right thing, you saw what God did. You saw what He did. Look at me. You saw it didn't take a whole lot to get God to do a whole lot to help you. You saw it. You saw when you were in that rock in the hard place and you looked up and said, "God, I'm sorry. I was wrong about this. I made some bad choices in my life. I'm going to do the right thing from henceforth. And Lord, help me with this situation." You saw God get you out of that rock and hard place. See, we really don't think giving is the way to solve your financial problems. Trust me, being faithful to God in your giving is how you fix your financial problems. So you're trying to get my money. Then get mad and go somewhere else and give them your money. But trust me, God will fix it. Now, we have known what God has done in our lives in the past. We've been to that place before where we go to the cabinet, put our hand on the cabinet and say, "God, I got one can of pork and beans left. That's it. Somehow, Lord, could you help me? Somehow, could you get me through this thing? Somehow, Lord, could you bless me?" How many times has God come through and answered mighty prayer, and God came through and answered and helped us and blessed us and lifted the valley and moved mountains and flattened those things out and took us through things we thought we could never get through before? God just said, "Now listen, you know, it doesn't take a lot for God to help. We'll just, whether by many or by few, doesn't matter with God. Let's just go up there and see what happens." There needs to be a remembrance where God got... Some of us today, maybe you don't have that testimony. Maybe your life is one rock and a hard place to the next one. And from one to the next one. And from one to the next one. Trust me, my friend, we go through rocks and hard places in our life. But the psalmist knew it well when he said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear..." He didn't say walk in it. He said through it. We've been down in that valley before and thought, "Man, there isn't any way out of here." I was deer hunting over here in Red Bluff, Paynes Creek area. And out, if you don't know that area very well, it's buttes and arroyos and deep canyons. I was down, we'd hike way down into the deep canyon. And then we started going side hill on these canyons. And I, being in the usual great condition that I was, came to the top of a hill and I was going, I looked over and there's some deer on the other side. Got down behind the log, looked through the scope. You know how hard it is to see what's going on when you're doing like this? And I looked down there and there were two little bucks, button heads, hooking horns. I said, "Deer..." Now, if you don't like killing deer, just don't listen to the rest of the story, okay? I looked down and I thought, "Hey man, that's enough horns to hook. That means he may have enough horns to shoot." So I looked at this one, he was just a spike about that long. The other one had a fork on there. Legal fork, Brother Cox. Legal fork. I looked at him and I thought, "Oh yeah. Now if I can just stop breathing hard enough to where I could actually hit him, good to go." And I put down, I looked down to the scope, popped off the safety, and I looked up this canyon. I thought, "Now if I shoot that little stinking buck, I got to drag him all the way out of this canyon. Guts weigh about 10, 12 pounds, 70, 80 pounds, dead weight, all the way out of this canyon." And I looked at him again. I said, "Yeah, he's legal." And I looked up that canyon. I went, "Yeah, he's legal." And I looked up that canyon. I went, "He ain't big enough to drag out of this canyon, though. I tell you that. If he was a trophy, I'd shoot him and drag him out of here. But I ain't going to shoot that little buck and drag him out of this canyon. That's not worth the trouble." Let him go. You get yourself in a spot. You start looking around. You think, man, alive? How in the world? But God has gotten us out of so many rock and hard places in our life. Do you remember that? Don't get to the place where you, I don't have any options, Pastor Johnson. You always have options. That way and that way. You always have options. You know how the story turns out? Jonathan is his armor bearer. Jonathan says, I got another idea. This armor bearer had to quit him after this because Jonathan had the worst ideas. Jonathan says, let's show ourselves to the armor. There's a fortress with dozens of soldiers in it. Two guys, and he says, we're going to step out there and say, hey, here we are. And if they tell us, come up here, we'll go kill them all. If they say, you wait, we'll come. Then they come down to us, we'll kill them all down here. But that's not the way I would have done it. I'd done it the other way around, but I wasn't in the story. And they step out and they go, hey! And the Philistines are up there and they're going, come up here, I want to show you something. Jonathan goes, good, let's go. And they crawl up in the fort and they kill every one of those Philistines. They went forward. They trusted God. Do you understand that, people? It's a very simple analogy, but listen to me carefully. It's exactly how you get yourself out between a rock and a hard place. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please, this morning.